You have your Bibles, open up to Mark chapter 7, where we're going to be this morning. And y'all, I'm not going to lie to you, this is one of the more awkward Jesus moments in the entire Gospels. It is so awkward what we're about to read, and I'm just going to dive right into it. Is that okay? Everybody good with it? All right, let's read Mark 7, beginning in verse 24, all right? Mark 7, 24. "And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her first," listen to this, "let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Jesus just called this woman a dog. All right, let's keep going, because it gets better. "But she answered him, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs.' And he said to her, 'For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter.' She went home and found the child lying in bed, and the demon was gone." Now keep going. I'm telling you, it's great. "Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. Taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears and after spitting, touched his tongue and looked up to heaven. He sighed and said to him, 'Ephphatha,' that is, 'be opened.' And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond all measure, saying, 'He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak.'" So what is going on in this passage that Jesus, first off, tells a woman she's a dog, and then second, sticks his fingers in a man's ear, and then touches his tongue and heals him? This is what I want you to really grasp this morning, is that Jesus' grace crosses every boundary to reach the unlikely and the unworthy. We talked about this last week a little bit. Do you remember how Jesus, in the last teaching, he declares all foods clean? He declares all meat clean. Do you all remember that? Remember us talking about that last week? So you can actually, if you weren't here last week, you can go back and read it in Mark 7:19. "Since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled, thus he declared all foods clean." He's declaring all things clean. And now Jesus goes into Gentile territory. This is grace that crosses the boundary. If Jesus' grace crosses every boundary, that also means the lines that we draw on maps. And so he goes into Gentile territory. He goes into Tyre and Sidon. He goes to a place, and he didn't want anyone to know. And one of the reasons why is because he wanted to instruct his disciples privately. He wanted to teach them privately. He wanted them to grasp the truth about himself away from the crowds, away from the distractions. But here's the thing about Jesus: he can't hide anywhere. Everyone knows him. Everyone sees him. Everybody, now that Jesus' public ministry is growing, everybody wants to get near Jesus. Now, it's kind of crazy that he's in Tyre and Sidon, because with Tyre and Sidon, these are ancient enemies of Israel. In 1 Kings 16:31, this is actually where Jezebel introduces Baal worship among the people. So now he is in Jezebel's territory. He's in a town that everyone worships idols. He's in a place where everyone is not worshiping the true God of Israel, except for this one woman. Except for this woman. Look at verse 25, "But immediately," there's that word again, that Greek word that just literally means "and now," "and then," "and then," "and then," "and then a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet." Now this woman, she was a Gentile. What's a Gentile? Somebody who's outside the covenant promise. Someone who doesn't know the God of Israel. Someone who is a stranger and an exile. She's outside the covenant. a Syrophoenician. Essentially, she is a Greek-speaking Syrian, all right? She's a Greek-speaking Syrian. These ethnic identifiers are there on purpose. Mark is trying to show us something about this woman. She is not of the people of God. She is not of Israel. But Jesus, crossing boundaries, is showing something to his disciples in the fact that he says, listen, all foods are clean, but I'm about to show you this. Are y'all ready? All people can be made clean. No matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what nation you're from, Jesus has come to save the world. And it's all throughout the Old Testament, y'all. When you look at the Old Testament and you flip through the pages and you look at the text, you see over and over and over that the nations are going to come to God. The nations are going to come. But it's going to come through a people who? Israel. It's going to come through ancient Israel. And here's the thing that I really want you to see. Are the Israelites getting it? No. They're missing the point. They're missing the picture of who Christ is. But this woman, she comes in desperate. But she also has a posture of worship. She falls down at his feet and says, please cast the demon out of my daughter. Please cast the demon out of my daughter. Now think about earlier what happened last week when we talked about the Pharisees. They come in and go, why are your disciples not washing their hands? Don't you know that that is what the elders do? And this woman comes in and falls down at his feet and says, please help me, Jesus. Please help me, Jesus. And then Jesus, I'm going to be real with you. He says a statement that sounds exclusionary. It sounds like he's actually saying, no. Listen to what he says. I read it just a minute ago. Still blows my mind. And he said to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. I actually heard a lady who is a part of a denomination that's gone liberal, and she said, you know, this is Jesus right here. Jesus is just being a jerk. Jesus is being a jerk. He doesn't understand, and this woman, she shows him up at his own game. But that's not at all what's happening in the text. Let me walk you through a little bit of some context clues that we can grasp that I think Jesus is actually, in one sense, tipping this woman off. Because this woman knows who Jesus is. This woman has a better grasp of Jesus than the Jews do. And in fact, she has a better grasp of who Jesus is than the disciples do. If you go back and look at what the disciples did at the end of the, when he walks on water after he had fed the 5,000, what did it say? They misunderstood him. They misunderstood Jesus. They misunderstood who he was. This woman knows that Jesus has something for her. And what Jesus is doing is he's mirroring God's redemptive order first. Salvation first comes to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. That is God's order of salvation. First it comes to the Jews, and then it came to the Gentiles. Read Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God that saves, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Salvation comes to the Jews. If you read Acts, Paul, the other apostles, what do? They go to the synagogue first, then the synagogue rejects, and then where do they go? To the Gentiles. Now Christianity is a religion made of faithful Jews, faithful Gentiles that make a people the church. But right here, Jesus is saying, hey, listen, let the children be fed first, for it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs. Hey, listen, I'm here for the Israelites. But I want to point this out. In the Greek, when we think of, especially in Jewish times, you've probably heard this, dogs are scavengers. Have you ever heard that? Like dogs, they didn't have like a piper. Like at my house, if you were to come to my house, Piper would try to greet you. She would love you. In Jewish day, they didn't do that. Dogs would go about, they would scavenge, they would eat garbage. They were not house pets. But the difference is where is Jesus? Is he in Jewish territory? No. The Gentiles had house pets though. And so the Greek word that he uses here is actually the word that means little dogs. It means house pet. So what Jesus is actually saying is saying, listen, notice the difference. He's not calling her a scavenger. He's saying this. It's not right for the Gentiles to eat first. He's actually using a parable. I'm here to tell the Jews. I'm here to tell the Jews, but you're a little dog. You're a little dog. And with little dogs, what do? We feed them. We feed them. Listen, we're in the process of this right now in our house, all right? Look, we have three dogs and three children, okay? Now, the three dogs were accumulated over years, and then we had kids, okay? So our house can be a zoo sometimes, and it's a good time, all right? We have a blast. And last night, we were talking about the dogs have been sleeping outside. They have a great covered patio. They have a great home, okay? They are doing great. They're doing wonderful, but they've been sleeping outside, and we have kids who eat like rabid raccoons, and they'll shred a bag of chips, and chips go everywhere, and crumbs go everywhere. And Ryan looked at me, and she said, this is why I miss the dogs being inside sometimes. It's like your own personal Roomba. And they love it, right? They love it. What this Jesus is telling her is, listen, it's not right for the children's bread to be given to the dogs first. There's an order here. And he's using a parable, but here's the thing I want you to see. He's actually tipping her off in his language, inviting her to see that grace extended to Israel is not limited to Israel. It actually overflows from Israel. Are you following me? As the crumbs fall off the table, salvation follows. Now, her response shows that she understands the parable and the fact that she answers with the same language. She doesn't demand equality with God's people. No, what does she want? She only wants mercy. Listen to what she says. Notice the language. First off, what does she say? Yes, what? Lord. Okay, that's interesting. Did the Jews call him Lord? No, the disciples haven't really called him that yet much either. But she's recognizing him. She is looking at him and she says, yes, Lord, but you know what? Even the dogs eat the crumbs under the table. To quote the great theological classic of our time, Dumb and Dumber. So you're telling me there's a chance. So you're telling me there's a chance. You're telling me that there's a chance for this grace. And notice what Jesus does. For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. This is something that's really unique about the Gentile country. Whenever he exorcises a demon in Gentile country, he doesn't touch somebody, he just speaks. So he speaks from a distance and the woman's daughter is exorcised. The woman's daughter is made clean. And this woman, she answers Jesus with his own parable, and he rejoices in it. He rewards her faith. What happened is that what seemed like rejection on the surface actually was revelation. She is perceiving that there's enough grace, even in the crumbs, to satisfy the nations. What she's saying is this. She's saying, look, Lord, like, I know those men at that table. I know why you're here. They don't know you like they're supposed to, but I do. I know you. And I know that there is enough grace in the crumbs that fall off of your table to save me, to heal my daughter. Y'all, listen. There's somebody in this room today that doesn't know the Lord. There's somebody in this room that has been far away from Christ for a while. There's someone in this room that feels like that they have been walking with Jesus, and the thing is that they've been walking with a version of Jesus as just themselves. Or maybe there's somebody in this room that's got sin in their life that they've been concealing, just kind of holding on to it, not letting it go. Listen to me, brother and sister. Listen to me. I want you to hear me. The crumbs at the master's feet can save you. The crumbs at the master's feet can save you. And not only that, his bread, the very bread of life, his body broken for you, is enough to save you. You are not without hope. This woman was not without hope. This woman's faith is not just persistence, it's understanding. She is seeing Jesus' mission more clearly than many in Israel as she realizes that at the crumbs of grace, my daughter will be healed and I can be saved. We feel like so many times we have to grasp all of these theological concepts, all of these things. Brother, sister, all you need to know is Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That crumb will save. Now, I'm not telling you to stop there, all right? Like, if you're still like baby Christian and you're growing in age, we got a problem, okay? Like, you can't just survive off of McDonald's chicken nuggets forever. Got to move you to some meat. But here's the beautiful picture. The crumbs save, amen? The crumbs save. Jesus didn't reject this woman. He invited her in. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 11. I found this really interesting. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done, listen to this, in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. He's literally cursing these cities in Matthew 11 that were Gentile cities. He is cursing these Jewish cities. And he's saying, listen, if I would have done the things I've done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have already repented. Why is he saying that? Because this woman did. Because he knew this woman would. He knew that the future of Christianity is a mission that extends beyond Israel. Christianity is a global religion. The fact that we who are a bunch of backwoods Alabamians and from all of the different places that are in this room, all the different geographical places, listen to me. The fact we're talking about it here shows you how the gospel went to the nations. The gospel is for you, brothers and sisters. The Gentiles are included into God's covenant blessings. That's literally Paul's entire argument, the latter half of Romans, literally starting with Romans 9 all the way through the end of Romans. You can read about how the Gentiles are brought in. The outsiders are brought in. So Jesus isn't being harsh to this woman. He's not even being prejudiced. He's not being a jerk. He is drawing her faith out publicly to show the disciples even a Gentile woman can get it. Even a Gentile woman can understand the very mercy of God. And it's showing us that those who have been far off, as Ephesians 2 says, have been brought near because of the grace of Jesus. Jesus has redefined clean and unclean in relational terms. Just as he declared all foods clean, he's saying, listen, all people can be made clean. All people can be made clean. Now, secondly, as we look on, we see that grace crosses the boundary, but it also goes to the unlikely. He enters into the Decapolis. As we look at the Decapolis, y'all remember what happened here? We talked about this last week. Let's see, pop quiz, Mark chapter 5. Demon-possessed dude, y'all remember that? The demon-possessed guy running around the tombs. He said, "We are legion, for we are many." That's what happened here. He goes back to Gentile territory once again, to this area that these people would have known about him. And notice their response here. Last time they were like, you ruined our economy. You got rid of all the pigs. Can you get out of town, please?" Now they're like, there's a guy, he's deaf. His tongue ain't working right. Can you do something about it? Can you do something about it? So Jesus takes this man who would have been considered unclean, and he touches this man. this Gentile man, defiling himself once again to make another man clean. Y'all see what just happened there? Brother, sister, this is us. He reaches down, he touches you, and he who knew no sin became sin so that you, so that me, so that we might become the very righteousness of God. We can't do it ourselves, brothers and sisters. We can't heal ourselves. We can't save ourselves. We are just as hopeless as this man who couldn't hear, couldn't speak. But Jesus says, be opened. Be opened. And guess what happens? He can hear. He can speak again. This miracle, it happens in the midst of Gentile people. And then Jesus, remember we talked about earlier, and you can go back and listen to earlier in Mark, we talked about the messianic secret, that Jesus is really trying to not reveal who he is until it's time. But here's the thing, the more that Jesus does this, the more zealously they go and tell. The more Jesus tells, the more zealously they go and tell. These miracles are actually showing something about what's happening and as the kingdom of God advances. That's how the beginning of Mark's gospel, remember how it starts? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. As the kingdom of God advances, the demons retreat. You can literally read throughout the gospels, it's more prevalent in the gospels than any other place in scripture that there's demons running around everywhere. Why? Because the general was on the ground leading a charging army. And as he approaches, they are retreating, and all the sickness, all the illness, all of the death that is near him, he reaches out and he heals and he resurrects and he does all these things. What's happening? Are these supernatural? No, it's Jesus restoring back to what is supposed to be natural. That's what a miracle is. It's restoration. It's Jesus restoring back what's supposed to happen. Restoring creation back to its intended wholeness. The fact that he said, be opened, is illustrating a beautiful picture of what regeneration is, that Jesus, God, that God's power can open what sin has closed. So as I mentioned just a minute ago, you may have walked into this room hopeless. You may have walked into this room feeling like a hot mess express. You may have walked into this room feeling like you don't have it all together. You may have walked into this room not knowing Jesus, but here's the thing I want to tell you. Number one, there's grace in the crumbs. And number two, this Jesus, he wants to draw near to you. He wants to touch you and he wants to save you and give you a new heart. He wants to give you a new heart. He wants to make you a new creation. He wants to restore back what was broken. He wants to give life back to what was dead. Our Jesus is not a distant God. No, he is personal. He is intimate. He touches the defiled ones to make them clean. Brother, sister, this is our ministry right here. This is our ministry. Listen, we are all dogs. We don't deserve to eat that bread, but guess what? Jesus made the bread available for us. We don't deserve to be saved. We don't deserve that salvation, but Jesus came down and gave us his compassionate presence, that he came down and dwelt among us. And so then, our ministry, the ministry of Woodward Avenue Baptist Church and every other gospel preaching church, not just the Baptists, but all the gospel preaching true churches in our area. Listen to me, I want you to hear me. This is good. This is supposed to be our ministry. Going to the defiled ones. Going to the ones who need Jesus the most. Going to the ones who deserve God, who don't deserve God's grace, who deserve God's justice poured out upon them, who deserve separation. We go, we tell, and we do this kind of ministry. This is the heartbeat of the church as we go out and share the good news of Jesus. Now, what eventually happens, as we see in this passage, look at verse 37. What do the people say? He has done all things well. He has done all things well. It's a phrase that's similar to when God declares creation good. He saw that what he's created was good. He'd done all things well. Christ's redemptive work restores all of humanity. The healings in the Gentile lands are showing us that the worldwide mission of the cross extends past geographical borders, political borders, and goes into the nations. And that is what happens for us. Galatians tells us that Ephesians tells us that the cross tore down the wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile. Galatians tells us that in Christ, there is no male dominating over female, or female trying to dominate over male, or Jew or Gentile, or slave or free. No, we are all one in Christ Jesus. We're standing on a level playing field, brothers and sisters, and we are standing there as an army ready to go and to proclaim the very kingdom of God. That is our mission. That is our mission. Jesus' compassion to Tyre, to Sidon, to Decapolis foreshadows his atonement that brings all the nations, that brings Muscle Shoals, Alabama, into one family. Those of you who are far off, you can be brought near by the blood of Jesus. You can be brought near by the blood of Jesus. You can go back to Abraham's blessing in Genesis chapter 12. What does it say? And you will be a blessing to all nations, and your descendants will be as numerous as the what? Stars. Brothers, sisters, that's us. We're those descendants. We're those descendants. We're the ones who are descendants of Abraham, and now we see that we are to go out and be a blessing to the nations as we go. So for the believer, may we rejoice in a Savior whose grace has reached even us, the outsiders outside of the covenant promise, and has adopted us and brought us in. For us as a church, may we pursue a posture of radical hospitality and gospel inclusion, that we can bring people in, even people that aren't like us, even people that are different than us, even people that don't speak the same language as us. No matter what it is, may we bring them in, and at the same time, may we also go to them. That's why we, every week, feature a different mission moment. Sometimes it's a national mission, sometimes it's an international mission, sometimes it's something that's happening in your very backyard. I mean, y'all, listen, Thursday, because of what y'all do through the giving of your church and these things, we were able to bless some students through our local schools because of your work for your backyard here. But this is just it. Writing a check is not simply enough. We also must raise up an army and go there too. Go get them. And not only that, it doesn't have to be this super formal. The super formal, like, hey, we're going to get up in team and we're going to go. No, listen, you can do this by inviting people to dinner, inviting people to lunch, going to talk to someone that's on the side of the street. You can do this. That is the ministry of Jesus Christ that we see right here, to reach those who the world excluded. To go to all the nations. That is our heartbeat. And then lastly, for the lost. In a room this size, there's bound to be someone who doesn't know Jesus. You may feel like you're too far. This text shows us you're not. If Jesus can heal the Syrophoenician woman's daughter from a distance, if she knew who Jesus was, if he can heal the deaf man and make his tongue begin to work again. I'm telling you, there's a chance. There's a chance. Grace is available for you. This grace that crosses cultural boundaries, that crosses all other boundaries that we put up, it reaches the unworthy and the unlikely. And you can be saved. Maybe today is the day of salvation. Maybe today is the day that it clicked for you. Maybe today is the day that you make it public. Maybe today is the day that you cross from death into life. His grace crosses every boundary, opens every willing ear, fixes every willing tongue, and welcomes every heart that will come to him. Jesus never, ever, and if you can show me in the Gospels where he does this, denies someone who comes seeking grace. Never once does he deny someone who comes seeking grace. He does deny those who come in their religiosity. I think about the rich man who comes and walks away. That man wasn't seeking grace. This woman, this man, they were seeking grace, and Jesus will give it. Today may be the day that you come and let this dog right here show you that there's crumbs enough for you, that there's grace available for you. Because if Jesus can save me, he can save anyone. If Jesus can save me, he can save you. Will you pray with me? Father, what a fitting song we're about to sing. All sufficient merit. God, may we see that it's only by your merit, through the Son on the cross and through his life that he lived for us, the death that he died for us through his resurrection, that we can come to you. God, there's nothing within us that can merit your grace. There's nothing within us that can earn it. But God, being rich in mercy, sent his Son to save us. God, may we see that all of us are ultimately beggars, pointing other beggars where the bread is. The bread of life that was broken for all of us, the bread of life that was broken for outsiders, such as me, such as all the people in this room. God, may we see that in Christ Jesus, he is our peace, who has made us, both Jew and Gentile, both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility between us. God, there's somebody in here today that needs to make that bold step. They need to come forward and make their faith public. Will today be that day? God, there are people in this room that need to realize that they need to continue growing. May they respond in that way today. God, there's people in this room that need to be challenged to live out their faith even more so, that they need to see that this faith is not just a Sunday morning thing. No, it's a lifestyle that you are calling us to. It's a full life change. May we see it even more so, that we can go and break down the wall of hostility around us and go to those who need the grace of Jesus. If a desperate mother and a deaf man can be healed by grace, God, what more do you have for us? I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.